Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our expectations series tonight. Going to talk about a couple of players that not everybody knows about, but I had a young man, I'm going to call him, who really wanted to talk about these two, Dayton Wade and Joe Evans. If you don't know who they are, hopefully you'll know more by the end of the episode. And joining me to talk about them is Sean Asher. Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You gave me the great compliment. I'm young. I just like had to shave my head in this year because I'm like losing my hair. But yeah, I'm still young. I appreciate it, brother.
You have the same problem I have that the hairs you have remaining on your head are not load-bearing hairs.
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, yep. Very familiar with it. Yep. All right. So who are we going to start with of these two?
I think probably Joe Evans. I think there's a lot more hype about Dayton Wade, and you know, rightfully so. I mean, it makes sense to me if you see the tape. But yeah, I just the UDFA guys with the Ravens every year. I go out and look at who they signed and just try to figure out who's that guy that's going to have an impact this year. So yeah, start with Joe Evans. We're looking at an edge player. Mm-hmm.
So 6'2", 246, the big problem with Evans has been very productive in college. We'll get into some of that at Iowa. There's two big problems. One is he turned 25 today. He's got the same birthday as Gunnar Henderson. We're recording this on 6/29 after the Orioles had a very exciting win, by the way. But the problem number two, 30 and a half inch arms on the edge. despite a lot of productivity in college, that's a big problem in the NFL.
That is a huge problem in the NFL. And in college, it was hidden very well in what they were asking him to do and how he was getting after it. And there is some things I saw on tape that, you know, there's some stuff there that he might be able to work through and figure out. I wouldn't put a Hall of Fame career on him right now, but with those measurables, but you know, there's a lot of things I saw on tape that make me think that this guy has a chance.
Very unusual kind of background, was a high school quarterback. That's not that unusual for a lot of players, but then walked on as a linebacker at Iowa of all places, ends up with one of the highest sack totals in recent years in the Big Ten, which is really incredible. Since in the last 20 years, I guess this is since 2005, so it's really like 19 years, but you get that idea. The yep. point is not in age. I think he was fifth. He's had a Joey Bosa during that yep. time in terms of sacks, and he's incredibly productive, and that's after being a walk-on five-year player. During his career, had 25 stops and only two missed tackles. And I'm going to check. That may have been just last year.
That resonates as true. That might have been just last year. I think I have 35 tackles for a loss total and then 28 sacks. While you're looking that up, I mean, his stats popped off. And that's why I started doing the research on him, because I'm like, how did this guy not get drafted? And then, of course, you see the measurables and you're like, oh, okay, he's that in between, you're not big enough to be a defensive end and you're not athletic enough to be an outside linebacker. So where do you fit? And there's so many guys in the NFL that are day three picks because they're in between those two size and athletic capabilities.
Yeah, he'd be a great size for an inside linebacker. In that case, he's probably not quick enough. Does have some good measurables on the margin, a 4.11 shuttle and a 41.5-inch vertical, which is that's tremendous explosiveness that you can really see him using in college. His get off is terrific. It's just the arm length is going to be no doubt a huge issue. But if you could put Joe Evans' get off on Adafi Owe, you'd really have something.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at that three and cone drill, if you compare it to combine participants, number one or third best, best three cone drill, and of everybody that participated in the combine, seventh highest vertical. Like that's.
Okay, seventh highest vertical of everybody. That's 7'10". That's got to be exceeded by a lot of cornerbacks. But I do remember that Hutchinson had like a 6.67. Typical slot corners are in the high sixes, some in the low sevens. But that's probably at the edge group, and that 7'10" three cone definitely jumps out at you as being a very good number.
Right. So, and doing the research for the podcast, he just ended up playing quarterback because he was the most athletic dude on the field. Like, that was it. The quarterbacks that were playing quarterback all got injured. And then because he was the athlete, he played quarterback. So, got scholarships and didn't want to go anywhere other than Iowa. And that's where he landed. Played a year and then got a scholarship. And, you know, when you look at the film, what stands out to me the most is that motor. And he just continues to work, and he'll get put on his butt in a block, and then somehow he still gets the quarterback pressure because quarterback's scrambling, and he's scrambled all the way across the field, and Joe Evans is the one that's chasing him down. And it's like, I can't imagine Harbaugh's not going to fall in love with that effort.
Yeah, we'll see him in the second half of some preseason games against some tackles who aren't particularly athletic. This ought to be a really interesting thing because I think there will be a lot of people falling in love with him there. He's got a very unusual pass rush record over his years at Iowa. But 2 years ago in particular, in 2022, this is how PFF scored it. So he had a bunch of sacks and a bunch of quarterback hits, but he only had four pressures that were not sacks or hits. And PFF, they don't count sacks and hits the same, but they had 6 and 10. That's probably representative or close, but it doesn't really matter. If it's off a little, it's still only 20% of his hurries were pressures, which is really unusual and not generally sustainable. And then last year, he had almost as good a season. He just expanded his hurries to 23. In fact, he probably had a better pass rushing season. So very impressive player, but you can see the cleanup that he did with Iowa, playing with a very, you know, with a very good secondary behind him. Yep. The amount of cleanup he was able to do off some first pressures from what generally is a very good pass rushing group there. Iowa, you know, he's known for playing all these 12-9 games. They really got it done, and he'll be one of the really exciting players to watch, I think, in camp.
Yeah. One of the things that stood out to me on tape, other than that motor, he knows he's small. He knows he's undersized, and he's worked out some interesting things that worked out in college. I don't know that it's going to work out in the NFL, but we're going to find out. We're all going to find out together. He has this hesitation pass rush where he shows you a bull, or he shows you he's going to the corner just to get the offensive tackle to put their hands up. And he's a really good hand fighter for his size. And that he baits them into giving their hands up. He's really good at hand fighting. And then he's able to, his bend is really incredible. It works out in college in the pass rush, but in his run defense, it was a lot to be desired in run defense from what I saw in film.
Well, good. He's got a good low missed tackle total, which is a big part of playing run defense. That's not the whole thing, because you got to hold the edge and you got to do some good things there. But the missed tackles, I mean, he's got 65 snaps in his college career with only 10 missed tackles. I don't care whose definition you're using. That's an outstanding ratio. We did see that the other UDFA, Lafayette College, Malik Ham, from last year had 80 and 10 in his college career, but this is at Iowa. It's not at Lafayette College, you know, right, in the Colonial League. And this is just really impressive grip strength in particular. He gets on you. He doesn't let go.
Yep. And speaking of Malik Ham, like, it's probably going to be the guy that has to lose his job if Joe Evans is going to be part of Baltimore Ravens 2024 plans. And I don't know that we saw enough from Malik Ham to say that it's for sure going to be Malik Ham, but, you know, there's not too much difference between the two of them in terms of team control, I'm assuming. Malik Ham is in his second year, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're getting one more year on a developmental player. And, you know, if you're looking at the last spot on the depth chart for that position group or in your practice squad, I don't know that 1 year of team control really makes a difference in that type of situation, as opposed to, like, okay, if somebody goes down, who can we pull into the roster today and get snaps to today, if right. That makes sense.
I agree. I think that Malik Ham is a guy who, if he ends up on the practice squad, there's a good chance the Ravens lose him. And the reason I think that's probably true is they tried him out at Sam linebacker last preseason, and he looked pretty good in that role. It was only 11 snaps, but he only his 5 years in his college career, Malik Ham had 0, 0, 0, 0, and 40 coverage snaps. So he didn't even have his first coverage snap till he was a senior. But the Ravens saw enough trait-wise to say, hey, here's a guy who can certifiably rush the passer, and Lafayette College didn't want to let him out of that role where he was much more valuable to the team. And then they decided, okay, we're gonna see if we can get some Sam linebacker value out of him. And I think, you know, the Ravens are short on that. They don't have Tyus Bowser anymore. Malik Harrison certainly has taken that role on early downs, but they don't really want to give it to Adafi Oweh, who has the real physical gifts for it. I think Malik Ham might be a guy who looks pretty good in a later down Sam role if the Ravens want to try and use that to spice up their pass rush a little bit.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be an uphill battle for Joe Evans to be a part of this, just not even in terms of what he brings, but just like to even have a spot, you know.
Oh, yeah. I agree. He had the fourth most sacks in Iowa history with 28. Four forced fumbles, six passes defense, so his short arms aren't hurting him too much in that regard. And you can't go through, generally speaking, and see every pass defense, but my guess is he has some fairly good instincts on the screen, and he may be getting some good opportunities there. The fifth most sacks in Big Ten history since 2005. I already told you that, I know, but I want to tell you the four players ahead of him are Ryan Kerrigan, Chase Young, Brandon Graham, another guy I don't know what happened to him, Joe Gaziano. So obviously three out of four significant NFL pass rushers in that group. And then, you know, behind him and in fairly close proximity are AJ Epenesa, who, you know, I think was an interesting kind of a prospect for the Ravens, ended up with the Bills. Interesting draft option for the Ravens.
Yes.
And Joey Bosa, who was eighth in that group. So he did come out a year early, but still, however you slice it, Joe Evans' college production, very impressive.
There is one other wrinkle to this thing that is kind of interesting. In a podcast that I listened to research for this, talking about people who walk on and have that experience, the whole podcast is centered on that. He said at his pro day, his agent mentioned one team was interested in him and at looking at him as a fullback. So during his pro day, he ran some routes, caught some balls. He said he felt pretty good about it. And coincidentally enough, he's here in the Ravens, and John Harbaugh said that they're giving him a look at fullback. So I don't know if that is the correlation or it's just correlation by circumstance. I have no idea, but that maybe impact things too, right?
Yeah, that's it's an interesting call there. And we've talked about, you know, the possibility that Ricard's tenure with the Ravens is coming to an end just because of he's had some injuries accrue, and both hips have been worked on at this point, and we may be getting towards the end. And yet they have Derrick Henry for this year and next, and it's going to be important for them to have a fullback. It would not surprise me at all if they tried to put Joe Evans in that role. I'd even say, though, looking at 6'2", 246, he's probably a little small for what the Ravens have become accustomed to at fullback. And it's not just weight. It's also length. Obviously, at 30 and a half inch arms, you know, there's length legitimate questions.
Yep. Yeah. He is built like a fullback, though, in terms of his frame. Like, you look at the guy and he looks like Peyton Hillis. Like, he is very barrel-chested, he's very broad-shouldered, you can see how it's a detriment to him in the pass rush because he's got such a wide frame. It's that much easier for people to get their hands on him. But he is very, very top-heavy, and it, you know, a full head of steam. He's moving. So in that regard, I don't even know, is Ben Mason still a thing, or did he leave again? I don't know.
I think he's in his third season. Let me check that real quick for you.
I thought I remember him going to LA Chargers. Is that right?
He's not on the Ravens. He's not on the current roster. It wouldn't be a matter of, you know, injured or anything at this point. He'd be on the 90, and he's not.
Yeah, so then I guess that segues us perfectly into a good season. And for me, a good season for Joe Evans is being on the practice squad. You know, if he can show us in preseason that, you know, whether it's offensively or defensively, that he's got some tools, he's got some versatility, he has the mentality, he can learn the game the way that what our system is, either side of the ball, and can show enough things to be part of Ravens plans in 2025, I think that's a pretty good season for him.
I agree completely. And I had very, very similar. So I'll just read it. Impresses enough for top of the practice squad spot where he could be elevated up to three times or activated to a deep Ravens OLB group if they suffer attrition. Impresses coaches with special teams ability and ability to be a four unit core player. I think he's got to be that. I think he's got to play on four, the punt and kick returns and coverage units. Stays in the 2025 plans when tougher decisions may be needed on Ajabo and Van Noy. So neither of those guys have a spot guaranteed for 2025. They might be the best option, but they might not. And so, you know, it's the guys that they have for sure for 2025 are Adisa Isaac. For one, they will have an option on Tavius Robinson also. They will have an option, I suppose, but it'll have to be re-signed on Malik Harrison. And they'll have Adafe Oye, of course, signed under the fifth-year option. So, it stays in 2025 plans when tougher decisions needed is enough. But they do have a $3.75 million incentive next year to cut Van Noy.
Yep. So part of your good is part of my great, because I don't see how he's going to really be a part of 20, 2024 unless it's on special teams. If he can carve out a role in this new kickoff and he can be a playmaker on special teams, then I could see those activations coming for that. Or I could see, you know, okay, we're not having any injuries in this spot, but we need somebody in special teams. And, you know, however this new kickoff rule is going to look, I don't know that we're still locked into the old way that we always had a guy or two that we knew were going to be our gunners. And we had that one guy that is the mastermind, the coverage caller, the all of guy. Those things. Yeah. Exactly. And like, as far as I can see, like that might be Joe Evans, you know, like, is he the ideal size for that? I honestly don't know with where we're headed with the kickoff rule, but the guy, his motor is absolutely insane. So Harbaugh's going to love him from the bat, off the bat, from the, for that. And yeah, I just can't, I could see that happening pretty easily. So for me, that's a great season, as he's on game day rosters and making plays most likely in special teams.
Okay. So you have him not just elevated, you have him making the 53 at some point.
If injuries happen, then yeah, that could see it. You know, I'm not sold that that's going to happen, but it could.
So I think things like that happen, you know, every year in terms of some position. I have a similar thing, cut but activated the 53 after attrition, finds a spot on special teams and in his occasional rotation player. And I have him for 50 plus snaps for the season is what I would consider a great year.
Yeah.
Pass rush stops, missed tackle rate, and the motor flashes he did at Iowa enough that he's a valuable 2025 to 27 option. So in the first one, he stays in their 25 plans. In the second one, he's a 25 to 27 plans
guy. I like
it. Yeah.
I like it. That makes sense.
All right. How about we move on and talk about Dayton Wade?
Dayton Wade, man. So excited. Another guy that, like, facing the same type of battle. Like, Dayton Wade, 3 years at Western Kentucky, not too much going on there. Transferred to Ole Miss, 82 receptions, 1,139 yards, and 7 TDs. Also, 16 carries for 103 yards, 6.4 yards a carry. His problem, why he didn't get drafted, he's 5'9".
Yep. He's an unusual guy because in the NFL, he's immediately branded as a slot receiver at that height. I mean, that's what they do. Oh, you're a 5'9 guy over there with the slot guys. But seriously, ran a 4.46 and he played 85% of his snaps the last two seasons at Ole Miss, where he really broke out. He played on the outside.
Yep.
So that was really nice to see. He was primarily a slot at Western Kentucky, and those years were not as good. He probably also did not have a particularly good quarterback. Throwing to him. I think of Western Kentucky, who did they have during that period? I don't actually know. But valuable combination of vertical routes to go with hitches. He is a guy who can sell something at the top of the route. I like that. And that's the reason he's able to stick on the outside of a big-time program, is he's able to sell either the hitch or go to that cornerback. Just a little bit of route running like that, it really shows up, and that's something, you know, hopefully that he can still bring to the NFL level.
Yep. So that 4.46 speed, literally Google says it's the blink of an eye difference between him and Tez Walker. 0.1. That's how long it takes to blink. 0.1 seconds. So speed's the same. The production about the same, I think. I'd have to go back and really look at the numbers there, but I remember seeing a couple stats where it's like, okay, they're about the same, and whether it was yards per target or something. And I was like, so that was interesting. But also, when I during research for this guy, heard him talking on another podcast after he had signed with the Ravens. He is playing out of position at Ole Miss. He is a slot receiver for, I guess.
That's really the question.
Calling himself. That's what the Ravens see him as. I have no idea. But, you know, after they're talking to him about signing with the Ravens, and, you know, how was your rookie mini camp and how was all that? And they said something about, you know, you're playing outside in the SEC. Like, how you're playing against Alabama and making plays. How did you not get drafted? He's like, and I was at a position. And I was like, hold on. What are you saying you're out of position?
Yeah, he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. What is going on there? That's interesting.
I mean, it's, in terms of some of the.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
The metrics from 2023, 10.8 yards per target. You know how I feel about that stat being the most important. He had 6.9 yak per reception. That's outstanding. And he did it with just three missed tackles forced. That's very unusual that you would have a low missed tackles forced number. There probably is plenty of elusiveness, but there's a lot of deep routes where he's outrunning then the secondary or running away from the secondary after the catch. Four TDs, three interceptions, a 107.9 passer rating throwing to him, and an 11.7 ADOT is higher, for example, than Zay Flowers had even in the second half when he was used as a deep threat. So Zay Flowers last year, for example, was 8.0 for the first nine games and 10.3 for games after that. And, you know, we tack another yard and a half on that, and you've got Dayton Wade at Mississippi. Now, the college game does have a lot more deep balls.
Oh, yeah.
But still, that's a really impressive ADOT number there for him.
Absolutely. And I often don't like to tell people to go watch highlights of somebody, but seriously, go type Dayton Wade highlights into YouTube. The man's body control is just absolutely unreal. I don't know. I can't think of a Raven that I've seen do some of those things. Like Odell Beckham could bend and move in that way midair, but I can't think of a Raven that did it in a Ravens uniform that made plays like that. And it's wildly impressive to see that. The other thing that really stood out is who he is as a receiver and his aggressiveness, his going back to the football, his high point, his jump. And I think in terms of that, it's similar to Mark Andrews. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to absolutely love who Dayton Wade is as the receiver and how he tries to help the quarterback and do those little things right. But I also think if you listen to a couple of interviews from this kid, I think him and Lamar Jackson are going to be best friends. Like it's going to be hard not to see that connection going because they're both just fun and about football and they work.
I'm glad to see that. I think his best friend for starters is going to be between Josh Johnson and Devin Leary. And definitely is the guy he's going to be playing with probably for most of the preseason. But we'll see how that works out. He obviously won't play with Jackson much. In camp, he probably won't play with Jackson much at all in terms of having reps on the field with him. But it would be nice if he at some point gets some opportunity to catch from the ones. One thing that you really notice about him is that he catches the ball away from his body effectively, which I do not always associate with guys with really short arms, like a lot of Marquise Brown, for example, not really a great away from the body catcher, much more of a trapper against his body. Even I would probably ascribe some of that to Flowers as well. He might be a little bit better, but not the greatest catcher away from his body. He does have to be, he probably wants to let the ball travel a little more in his case, cause he wants to avoid, situations where the ball can be dislodged easily. But, on the other hand, just it's a recipe for drops to be a body catcher. And it's also a recipe sometimes for interceptions as well. If you get some deflections in there. So, the cornerbacks in the NFL are going to have arms that are often 3 inches longer than him. So there's going to be quite a disadvantage that he's going to have to start playing with. I'm not saying he hasn't faced it all in the SEC, but I think he's faced it only intermittently.
Yeah, correct. It's not every game. Yep. To get back to your point about the missed tackles, adding to him as a receiver, his vision when he catches the ball and his reaction to his next move is so quick. It's incredible to me to see. I think a lot of the times we see a wide receiver catch the ball because they're so trained on catch that ball. Look at the ball coming in. Do not look away until the ball is in your hands. But somehow Dayton Wade seems to have this like Spider-Man Spidey senses of like where defenders are. Cause as soon as he catches it, he doesn't have to look to know where to move. And it watching his tape and then, you know, thinking back to Zay Flowers rookie tape, I think rookie season, I think I remember Zay like catching some balls and just doing a spin move as soon as he caught the ball. And then I like a coach telling him like, dude, you didn't have to, you know, or like, he catches the ball and immediately just starts working backwards or around somebody when there's other options. And Dayton Wade's feel for what to do as soon as he's caught the ball is something that really stood out and impressed me.
It certainly shows up in his yak per reception. I didn't watch enough of his individual catches to really notice if I saw a lot of U-turn play, which is something I wouldn't say you watch out for it. It's usually big play breaking slot receivers can hitch or come back on the football, catch the ball, and then they run an extra yard so that they can start a U-turn move on whatever cornerback might be unfortunate enough to be chasing them. And oftentimes, if there's a guy going over aggressively downhill, you make him miss and you can make a big play out of it. It doesn't always work by any stretch of the imagination. You can end up giving away first downs by doing it, but it's a legitimate move. And given his yak per reception, I have to bet that there was some of that involved in that total, given how low that missed tackle force number is.
I saw him do that once, but a lot of what I saw was just like, it was like he had a mastery understanding of pursuit angles and how to like predict and beat those angles, you know? So it wasn't, I'm going to stop and come back, beat you with my athleticism, my twitchiness. It was just like heads up football. And I was like, I don't even know how you get that skill. It was so wildly impressive, but yeah. Good wiggle at the top of the route too. That was the good thing that I saw, and it was pretty impressive because I think we've kind of struggled with some of our receivers of late. Of like, we want the wiggle here, and this person's missing it, or this person has too much. So I saw a pretty good wiggle that I was happy about.
Right. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this a number of times on the show, so people know my feelings about it. But Flowers is a very sudden athlete, not the greatest route runner. Bateman has legitimate wiggle. I don't think Lamar has always used it to the highest level to get him the football, anticipate his break off that corner. And OBJ was one of the really good route runners in recent history in the NFL, so should have been some people learning on that. Jackson's just not a huge on-schedule quarterback, so wiggling at the top of the route is just not something he's necessarily anticipating in the early development of the play. He wants to wait, find space, boom.
Yep.
And it just does not work the same way. And I think it's part of the reason that Bateman's had a kind of a frustrating start to his career here, in part, is kind of a lack of trust would be one thing, because that's certainly showed up on some deep balls, but a lack of ability to really be on time on those scheduled throws.
Yep. Yeah, and I imagine that has to be part of the off-season program and evaluation of the offense and adding some of those things into the game plan and practicing some of those things, because I'm sure Todd Monken has a million things he wants to add to the game plan, but year one, like, you've got who you've got, and we're in the middle of the off season already. I have to get something basic that can work and can be successful and, you know, and then make improvements and tweak from there.
It's, you know, this is a great spot. If you have to give reviews of professional people or of any person, and they've got 29 problems, you really can't tell them about more than three on one review. You got to just, you know, focus your effort on solving these three biggest problems right now. And then you can work on the next three next year if they solve all those. But it's really not something that they can solve every problem on earth about who Lamar is. And they wouldn't want to, because, you know, his off schedule nature is part of what makes him great. You know, he's unbelievable when he holds the football for a long time. So, it would be a loss to try and filter out those alpha characteristics he already has as a quarterback to try and make him a different player. So there are limited things they can do to really change who he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Lamar would have wanted to resign if Baltimore was trying to turn him into Peyton Manning and just like on schedule, everything's timed, everything's rhythmic. Like, because the guy has fun with it, you know? And like, I just can't imagine that's fun for him is, you know, turning it into a machine. The guy talks about his backyard style of football and like growing up, and it's just everybody's running and going and you just make plays. It's not really so.
But can you turn it off for three plays a game? Can you make three on schedule throws per game? And that would be what I would, you know, want to try and get done.
Yeah.
Getting back to Dayton Wade for a moment. Modest history as a kick returner, 25 kickoff returns, 7 punt returns in 5 college seasons. I do expect him to be one of the guys who is returning kicks in camp. So that's something we take a look at. I always like to look at two things. The first is, how quickly are they tracking the football, and are they always there right under that to catch it in perfect position? I grade those things 1 to 4 for each return that I watch in terms of punt returns or kick returns. And then, do they explode out of their stance right after that? And, you know, if they fumble the ball, that's obviously bad. If they catch the ball over their shoulder, that's kind of hidden very bad. Because it does not put you in a good spot to make a good return. So we'll see how good he is. I think he gets plenty of look. Campanaro in particular is one guy who could always do those two things very well. He tracked the football exceptionally well, was in the spot, exploded out of his stance on the comeback. And it still didn't mean that he was the greatest punt returner that ever lived or anything, but he was pretty good.
It was consistent. It was reliable. And like, if you don't have anything else, you'll take consistent and reliable, you know?
Yeah. A lot of time, he may be competing for playing time with Devontae Hardy. Deontay Hardy, I should say.
Yep.
Hardy is obviously a kick and punt returner. If he were to go down, they'd have to find somebody different. Dayton Wade might be a very realistic option to be the next guy up. And in a lot of ways, he fits that gadget role that the Ravens would also need to fill if anything happened to Hardy, to play some offense. So honestly, you know, you don't ever root for another player to get hurt, but that's the guy. If you're Dayton Wade, you're not hoping he gets hurt, but if he does get hurt, you've got a big opportunity. You got to take advantage of it right then. Cause he certainly needs to be positioned if anything were to happen to him.
Yeah. I think that's probably a great segue to the good season, right? To me, a good season for Dayton Wade and the Baltimore Ravens, I honestly think it does hinge on an injury. And I hate to say that. I'm not wishing an injury on anybody, because this is life-changing money for these people, their families, generations to come. But to me, Dayton Wade is going to show up in the preseason. Like, this dude's just too talented. He's got too many physical or athletic attributes that some 53 man roster can have space for Dayton Wade. So to me, I don't know that he's going to beat out Tylan Wallace or Deontay Hardy for a job. And then also Malik Cunningham as well. So I could see he could beat out one of the three. I could see maybe he beats out two of the three. I don't know how he beats out all three of them to get the 53 man roster spot and like be locked into this thing. So
yeah, the Ravens have also been very positive on size in the past. Now, it's got to be specific needs in the case of Dayton Wade that they keep him, but Sean Ryan is the one, right? Have that wrong. Yep. Sean 6'3". Ryan, practice squad, big body, 6'3", 200. So he's a guy that I think the Ravens could do more with. You got a much larger pool of potential candidates for slot jobs, for kick return jobs, for that matter. Dayton Wade just needs to be ready when his job comes up. I think he would also benefit from not calling himself a slot player exclusively. He's played on the outside very effectively at Ole Miss. I mean, it'd be nice to see if his wiggle at the top of the rate at the top of the route can translate to the NFL. Just the combination of hitch and go alone can make you a good outside receiver in this league.
Yeah.
And, you know, did for Derek Mason.
Yeah.
Really nice if he could do that.
Yeah. So one of the comparisons actually compared him to Derek Mason, just because of how crisp that route running is with what he's doing and setting defenders up. But yeah, for me, a good season means there's an injury to one of those three guys, and that keeps him on the 53, or because I don't know how else it happens, man. And if he gets cut and we try to slide him to the practice squad, I think he's gone. I don't think it's a Geno Stone that we're going to be able to get back ever. I don't see it happening.
I actually don't think initially that the risk will be that great. It obviously, a lot of it depends on the preseason, but I'll go through what I think is a good season. He has to be healthy in the preseason. This is true of all players who play corner, play wide receiver, high risk of soft tissue injury, need to stay away from that, need to be, actually be able to show what you can do on the field. And more than any other position, availability is the most important ability. You gotta be get through the preseason without getting hurt. He has to show enough on kickoff returns to be the top of practice squad option. So he's not going to make the team. I don't believe it's going to happen unless they have a nuclear situation, obviously, among the receivers. We would not root for that, obviously. If it does happen, it's a possibility, but I don't think in the 60th percentile he makes the team. He is also close to the top of the practice squad in terms of a wide receiver and gadget player. So he does enough as a wide receiver, does enough of a gadget player. They say, okay, we got several things to like about this guy. He might be able to return kicks for us, and he can do it while Hardy is out for 2 weeks. And hey, we can also use him on a few offensive snaps as well. And see if we can misdirect, see if we can get some of the running as he did at Ole Miss or at Western Kentucky in terms of running some jet sweeps, for example. I think that would be a positive. I think he's elevated two or more games this season in a good year. I don't think he necessarily makes the 53, but he does enough on special teams as a receiver to remain at least in the 2025 camp/preseason option territory. I'm going to be clear about that. That doesn't necessarily mean he's back. And we saw with Jeremy Lucien, for example, this year, who kind of does fit what the Ravens need in a lot of ways as a back end safety, that he was an option, but the Ravens didn't end up keeping him. So that may be the case with Dayton Wade a year from now.
Yep. I think the floor for him is so different. I think that's where I'm in disalignment or disagreement. I think the floor is really high for this kid, and it's just, there's just so much going right. And I'm not an NFL scout. I'll never get that job. I'm just not qualified, and I won't even be able to be qualified for that any day, but just what I'm seeing in tape, and it's not just highlights, going back and watching the full games, there's just so much to be impressed there. And there's so many little things he does right. I'm like, this kid's floor is so impressive to me. So yeah, where I'm at with it is a good season is he makes the 53 man roster. Cause other than that, I don't know that he's going to be able to be part of the Ravens future in any way, shape or form.
Okay. My rules for allocating that won't allow me to say that, but what's your great?
Great season, makes the team, gets in games, is a contributing and getting targets. And, you know, maybe that's what it's 17 times three targets a game, somewhere in there, you know, 1.5, 2 targets a game, somewhere in there. That's my great season for this guy.
Okay. That's a lot. I'd say a great season is probably really a bad thing for the Ravens because it means somebody got hurt. But I'd say Hardy is hurt, and the Ravens turn to Wade, who provides a spark on the kickoff return and some offensive snaps. Ability to use and create misdirection works well with Lamar, Henry, and other schemes. The Ravens have a valuable option for 2025-27. So instead of he's a camp/practice squad option for next year, he's a valuable option for 25-27, which means they're really saying, no, that's good. We got a lot of sand in the hourglass left on this guy. Let's see what we can do. Won't necessarily make the team in 25, even if Hardy is hurt in 24, but it greatly increases his chances because what you're talking about, that another team might vulch him, much more likely if he's already got an NFL snaps, already looked elusive and dangerous in terms of the speed and some of the gadgetry the Ravens can define for him this year.
I'm thinking that's going to happen in preseason, man. So that's where we're differentiating then. Cause I think that'll happen in preseason, and you know, I'm painfully optimistic to a lot of people. So I totally get that. The last thing I'll say, listening to him on another podcast, they asked him what he's doing in the time off between rookie minicamp and, you know, OTAs. Going down to Florida with Zay Flowers to get work in with Lamar.
Oh, great. That is good news.
I'm just like, dude, And you know, they asked him about the locker room, and he's talking about how much he appreciates Nelson Aguilar telling him all these things that he's seen. So the kid knows to attach himself to the veteran who's been around, and it's just like, just being in the locker room as a UDFA, and like, am I going to make it? How do I do that? Like, none of that's there. He's already thinking about, you know, the best path, and he's already on that to try to figure out who to talk to, what to do, who to go work with, how do I get these things done? So, yeah, man.
It's extremely encouraging. Encouraging. Both of those connections, trying to build those. That is, I would agree. That's extremely encouraging. All right, yep. Well, Sean, always a pleasure talking football with you. This is just one of you. I've done a couple of these, and both of them I thought have been outstanding. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
Oh, man, every time. I'm sorry. I'm on Twitter, X. I'm on X. It's at @BMORE_sky_high, H-I-G-H. Be more sky high, baby.
Okay. All right. Very good, Sean. Really appreciate you coming on. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. If you have an idea for a program, I'll get right back to you. We'll talk about it. We'll see if it makes a show that will be entertaining, and we'll try and do it. We're looking for topics. It might be 20 or 30 minutes, hopefully not an hour. Want to provide some shorter content in this short format. That's kind of the goal here. If you have a concern about the 2024 Ravens, those can be a little longer, but hit me up with what that is. Again, just by DM on Twitter, I'll contact you back, and we'll find a time to talk. Sean, thanks again for coming on.
Always a blast, man. Appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.